Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Last July, we introduced our listeners to Venue, a combo smart TV device and content curator where viewers pay, then watch movies, events, and possibly over time, original series. As 2021 begins, with more funding and a beta test accomplished, Venue is on the road to launching this spring. First stop, next week's virtual CES. Chief Executive Sihan Fuad-Atkin joins me next, or I should say rejoins me next, in an internet radio exclusive. A Toy Story Near You is back in Amazon for season 2. Find about this series and what's in the 2021 pipeline from the cell company Toy Story's maker, from Chief Executive Brian Book-Weiss, after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, Fab Five Scripted, WGN America takes a bite out of News Nation, will explain, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial, and get more about a special subscription offer only available this week at audibletrial.com/televised. More details on all that later in the program. 41 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. A clear gray day here in the Big Apple. And on this Tuesday afternoon, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. Second of three episodes we're doing this week, Monday, today, and Friday. Happy you're aboard for the ride. Wonderful guests coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you, as always, to be interactive with them and us. All you got to do is pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, it's no problem with us, because we got a chat room ready and waiting for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can put your questions or comments there. You'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you connect to us using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen. Follow the instructions on TV Live with you. Sihan Fuad-Atkin from Menu joins us live from San Fran after these news notes. Remember the Fab Five? That's the University of Michigan's men's basketball squad that became the toast of the sport in the early 1990s. Chris Webber, the Fab Five player currently providing NBA telecast commentary on TNT, is crafting a scripted miniseries about the team and its road to two NCAA championship contests. The miniseries will be based on By God's Grace. That's Webber's book about his life and basketball career, expected to be published later this year. Other Fab Five members, including current Michigan men's coach Juwan Howard, will participate as consultants. No word yet on where or when the miniseries will run. Be prepared to see WGN America's 3-hour News Nation primetime block that's from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, reduced to 2 hours weeknights as of March 1st. The 10 p.m. Eastern Time half hour will be filled by Fanfield, a mix of in-depth news coverage and interviews, anchored by current Court TV host and veteran newscaster Ashley Banfield. Some quickies before our first guest. About 19 million viewers watched ESPN's college football playoff semifinals New Year's Day. That's even with the 2020 result. Bridgerton, Shonda Rhimes' first Netflix series, is on track to be seen by 63 million people over its first month of availability. Bridgerton launched Christmas Day. And Lockdown, the HBO Max original movie co-starring Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor, which, by the way, takes place during the coronavirus pandemic lockdown, will premiere next Thursday, January 14th. Doug Liman directed. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from San Francisco in the interview exclusive, the chief executive of Venue, Sihan Fuad-Atkin. Sihan, welcome back.
Simon, thanks for having me. Hey, Simon, thanks for having me, and Happy New Year to everybody.
You too, and a very, very good pleasure to have you back. So bring us up to speed on where Venue is at.
Yeah, so we're very excited. 2021 is going to be a great big year for us. As you know, we just, as you mentioned earlier, we just did a successful Indiegogo campaign to build out our pilot audience and our pilot user base. So what we've done is successfully completed that, and in April of 2021, we'll be shipping out the units for that pilot, and then the official nationwide launch we're looking for is going to be in July of 2021 is what we're targeting. And ultimately, we're very excited to be able to help the industry and, you know, not just movies, but live events, concerts, to be able to put on those amazing acts and those performances and be able to share it with a much wider audience than just a physical venue would allow. and be able to still capitalize and sell tickets and maintain the value of that art form. So we're very excited, especially in these trying times, to be able to create another channel for artists and movie creators and storytellers to expand their audience while maintaining the value of their business.
How has the coronavirus pandemic impacted the rollout or the interest level among content creators in being involved with your venture?
I think it's definitely put it's benefited us, you know, as bad as that would sound. It has benefited our product and our vision in the way of, you know, really spotlighting it and putting things in perspective. A lot of people maybe before the pandemic didn't quite understand our full vision. Now, when you explain it, you know, even in simple terms to people that may not be in the industry, they get it right away, because a lot of people have been, you know, stuck at home, not able to go to sports, not able to go to concerts or comedy shows, not able to be able to have those experiences. And on the flip side, the artists have suffered from not being able to go on the road and be able to sell tickets to their shows. So we feel like our product is gaining a lot of momentum and is positioned very timely in the current landscape to be able to really help both sides. Give consumers instant access to the latest and greatest content from a world of entertainment, and give storytellers an avenue to stream directly to the consumer and sell tickets per person.
Mm-hmm. And are you pretty clear that the outlook is that, especially for the live event people, that they'll be able to rev their events back up by summer?
I think ultimately, you know, it's a very complicated issue, right? You've got vaccines being rolled out. People are getting vaccinated. Yet it's a slow process. The businesses on both the film and the live events are, you know, losing a ton of money with venues and events being closed. You've got the biggest markets in the U.S., New York, California, being pretty much shut down for the foreseeable future, it seems like. And that's really affecting the industry. So even when things do open up, they may be at, you know, very limited capacity, which directly, you know, reflects on the bottom line for these businesses. So if we can create a way to expand that audience exponentially, I think there's definitely a business there.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of what you did late last year, by the way, before we get into the beta test you did and also the Indiegogo campaign and how it did in terms of getting crowdfunding revenue, remind everybody about how your system works. It's a smart TV device or plug-in, and then what you do is if there's an event or a movie or content you want to see, you pay for it first, sort of a ticketing process, and then you see the event you want to see, correct?
That's correct. So We've essentially built a media player very similar to like your Roku or your Fire Stick or your, you know, any kind of those devices, right? They have these streaming services that are offered to you, and it's Android-based operating system currently. And what it does is it gives the consumer an easy, simple one device to be able to access, you know, streaming services, cloud gaming. And what's additional to our device is that we have the camera optics, right? Because we do that for our own marketplace for the ticketed transactions. But using that same infrastructure, we're able to do Zoom calls or, you know, video calls through the device, which gives you that, you know, TV 10-foot plus experience when you want to do a Zoom call. In addition to that, of course, the bread and butter of our product is the venue marketplace. This is the marketplace in the app where consumers would go to access premium ticketed entertainment, whether it's a movie that's playing only in theaters or a live concert, a live comedy show, a musical from Broadway, a Las Vegas show, anywhere from the world. It could be streamed directly to the consumer on this venue marketplace. And what Venue does is it utilizes the optics and machine vision and AI to be able to do a head count and sell tickets per person. See, nobody really has that in their solution. We saw in, you know, Fortnite recently, I think it was 21 Savage, he put on a really savage concert. It was virtual, but there was millions who attended. With our model, you'd be able to monetize those millions on a per-ticket transaction.
Do you see video calling or maybe some offshoots like telemedicine or teleeducation as maybe a side revenue base or a side business base?
Well, there's definitely a lot of things we can get into once we've, have a good following and a good installed base. We're looking into, you know, remote education, telemedicine, virtual shopping for clothes and serving goods. So we're looking at a lot of things that we can do simply because we have the infrastructure and we're building it to have a future where we can have these different services. It really creates a marketplace, not only for us to develop services, but for other companies to develop apps and services that would be within our ecosystem, potentially using our optics and provide value to the consumer.
We're talking about Venue. It's the very unique smart TV device and content creator that is expecting now to launch around the country, that's the U.S. we're talking about, this July after a completed beta test that started last fall and will be continuing apparently also this winter and spring. We're speaking with the chief executive of the service, Jahan Wataqin. He joins us live from San Francisco this half hour. He was originally on our program last July to discuss Venue, and he's rejoining us today on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday special edition of the program All About TV's Current and Future. We're coming your way on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and Tune Radio, also on Amazon Music and the iRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for our guest, make the call go, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have one more episode coming your way this week. It's on Friday, 90-minute edition, and we'll kick it off with one of the key vice presidents of video, the smart TV set maker. Her name is Catherine Pond, and she's doing business development for SmartCast. That is their smart TV development. We'll ask her where Vizio is going with their smart TV products this year, and we'll get her early thoughts about CES, which is now all virtual at the Consumer Electronics Show this year. And then Friday is Elvis Presley's birthday. We got a special guest about that, our good friend Frank D'Onofrio. We've had him on before to talk about Elvis Presley's exploits in TV during the 1950s, and he's back with us because he's got a brand-new book out called Elvis Presley, the King of Rock and Roll, which later on this month we will start offering as a classic trivia question prize. And finally, Netflix has a unique relationship going with Headspace. That's the popular meditation website. The first example of that is a new series called Headspace Guide to Meditation. That's Headspace Guide to Meditation. And the executive producer of that program, Morgan Sulzer, will be with us. And later this year, they'll be doing an interactive TV project in conjunction with Netflix and Headspace. So Morgan will hopefully talk about that as well. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. So next week, Jahan, is CES. What do you plan to do there?
Oh, we plan to network. We plan to show off, book a lot of meetings to show off the technology and be able to, build a great relationship with a lot of the attendees and exhibitors. So we're really looking forward to it. Also, it's really great to see, like, these technology, the shift in technology and the shift in kind of the consumer behavior in some of these connected devices. For example, before when we started building our product, there was really nothing that had the infrastructure that we were actually putting in place, right? Like a camera with a streaming box attached to it type of thing. But now there's a lot of other players getting involved, which we're also looking forward to and would love to work with them, get our Venue app, which is just the ticketed streaming app, onto their infrastructure, onto their ecosystems, whether it's like Facebook Portal TV or PlayStation 5. Our app could be on them using their cameras to be able to sell tickets. So there is a way for us to be able to get out into the market a lot faster by utilizing those channels, because then we don't have to build the hardware, right? It's just putting our app right onto on hardware that's already in the market. So we're very excited to build those relationships and kind of move forward utilizing both channels, introduce our product to the market, as well as put our Venue app onto other ecosystems that have the infrastructure to support it.
What is your sense out there going into CES of developing the kind of relationships you just talked about?
It's always positive. In this business, you got to be positive, and you got to always see the glass half full, and you got to just chase your dreams and keep pushing forward. What we're doing isn't easy, and we're very passionate about it, and we're pushing hard. And hopefully we can, along with the greatness of our technology and the vision, we can portray our passion and how we're suited as a team to execute. So it's really great to network and get in front of these big corporations where these relationships could flourish, and you could change the world.
Now, as you mentioned, Shahan, last fall you did a crowdfunding campaign with Indiegogo, and it turned out that you did far better than expected. What was the goal going in, and what was the result?
Well, the goal was to obviously, make sure that some of our assumptions are accurate. We learned a lot from the experience. It did confirm a lot of our assumptions, but ultimately it was just to build the pilot user group. It wasn't really to launch and sell a lot of units because it's hardware. At those small volumes, we're actually there losing money on selling these units. But the idea again was to get a pilot program, get an external user base that can flush out the system and test with us. So we're excited to have successfully done that.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the result was triple the revenue that you had projected.
Yeah, we were looking to hit a certain small goal and sell so many units, but the turnout was really great. We hit 300% of our goal and had to turn it off. But that's great. I mean, it's great to see that there was such a great turnout for the product, even though we actually didn't have a way to advertise content that would be on here that would be ticketed. It's not like we went out and said, hey, we're going to have this movie or this concert, because we don't have those locked in. It was simply telling the consumers, here's the vision. We're going to have some, small content on there for you to test, and then we're going to build this out. And it was really the vision and the idea and the possibility that these guys invested in. And I guess that's the nature of Indiegogo, but it's really cool to see that, kind of support.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the beta subscriber group that you have so far, what are you learning from them about the functionality of Venue, how easy it is for them to do the ticketing process, to get to the event, to see what they want? What are you learning from the sort of trial run?
Well, we're looking at a lot of different things because ultimately we're very, hyper-focused on the consumer experience. So this is really to get, aside from our internal testing, which we're obviously have the level of bias, this is to get a neutral consumer base to have hands-on with the product and give us feedback on what they like, what they don't like, what that user experience feels like for them. Again, we want something to be a very premium user experience. We're not playing with 10,000 titles. This is premium content that's ticketed. So finding something you want to watch, being able to, boom, buy tickets and get it, get into it should be very seamless and straightforward. So we're making sure that that experience is premium and seamless and enjoyable.
Shahan Fwai-Atkin, the chief executive of Venue, is our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And as you've been hearing, his product is looking to launch by July of this year all over the place. And he's with us, as I said, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And our remaining minutes, you have a question or comment for him? Well, make the call your way, 646-652-2906. Or if you're shy about the phone, use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. As we mentioned, the first ever virtual Consumer Electronics Show, CES, begins on Monday. And on Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have early news notes about the smart TV developments that are announced there that morning. Plus, move over, Shark Tank. There's a new player trying to get entrepreneurs going in town. It's called 2 Minute Grill. It will premiere later this week on Bloomberg Television and also through smart TV sets and devices on Amazon Prime Video. We'll have the host and producer of the program, entrepreneur David Meltzer. And a week after that on Monday, that's on January 18th, we'll have Chris Sheridan. He's the Emmy Award nominee for Family Guy, and now he's the executive producer and showrunner of the new sci-fi scripted series Resident Alien, based on the popular comic book. This is sci-fi's first scripted series in quite a while. And Chris will be with us live to talk all about it. That's coming up a week from Monday, January 18th, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When we talked last July, one of the things that you suggested was that this could be a possibility for original series makers, scripted or unscripted, to get a showcase through your service. Have you heard since then from original series makers about doing that? And what do you think about that possibility now?
Wait, no, actually, I think when that conversation came up last we talked, it was the fact that our device, our model, our product doesn't work so well for scripted stuff. That's more for the subscription services, right? Like, that's where we differ. For example, right now, a lot of these major studios who have streaming services are putting their latest movies onto their streaming services to increase subscription. But in all honesty, movies are fillers, right? No one's going to sign up and stay on as a subscriber for movies that come, you know, seldomly. It's really the episodic long-form content that you make that HBO and these, you know, some of these guys are, you know, great at making that keeps people sticky to that subscription. You stay on for months, seasons, you know, watching these episodic content. And putting a $200-300 you know, million-dollar, you know, whatever movie on a as a filler into these services is probably not the most lucrative, right, way to go. So what we're doing is in our model, it's for all that, right, all the ticketed stuff, your premium $200 million box office, you know, a big budget movie, your live concert, your live comedy stand-up. In the future, could there be a way to utilize our technology to do long-form stuff? Maybe. We have kind of flirted with the idea and played with some models, but that's really not our core or our focus at this time.
I bring it up because there are a lot of people who want to get into scripted television. You hear every day about new production companies being formed, all sorts of scripted development happening. We had on our news note Chris Weber, the TNT analyst, the former head, member of the Fab Five, the Michigan basketball team. He's now developing a miniseries based on experience. And he's formed his own production company, by the way, to pull that together. And there are a lot of people, I said, out there that are newcomers to television who would like to get their rookie TV series up and running, and maybe something like Venue might be an opportunity.
Yeah, it's, you know, I never want to say no, but it's definitely episodic stuff. It's harder to put in our on our system for this for the simple fact that I don't know if anyone would want to pay per person to watch something long form like that. I mean, imagine having to pay, even if it's a dollar for every per person for every episode you watch. We just don't see the model working in that, the technology working in that sense. And plus, there's so many streaming services and avenues where you can put your episodic, from YouTube to Disney Plus to Netflix. There's so many avenues where, you know, your scripted long form content could get into, but not many avenues for your premiums. You know, what do you have? You have the theaters, or you have your, you know, Disney Plus, your, you know, HBO Maxes. But how many producers out there that make great movies have a Disney Plus or an HBO Max behind them? There's a world of content creators out there that don't have a streaming service with 50 million some subscribers that they can just put their content on. So for us, we're building that ecosystem where people that create these awesome stories, awesome performances that requires a ticketed audience, we're the platform that expands that into millions of homes.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier a wide variety of new opportunities that could come from this, like video chat, like telemedicine, like teleeducation, and so forth. Let's explore two more before you go. One is gaming, and the other is interactive possibilities. In fact, you mentioned the idea of shopping via the television set, which certainly ticketing could do. In the terms of gaming, we're expecting some announcements at CES, possibly from Microsoft, for example, which has been hinting that they're going to put Xbox games on smart TVs for the very first time. We know that Apple Arcade is out there, which is putting games on Apple TV. There's also Stadia, Google's project, which is on Google Chromecast, and also on Android TV or Google TV sets. What about gaming as a possibility? You know, play a video game, a one-shot or as much as you like under your service.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Gaming is huge, right? That industry is absolutely phenomenal. I love gaming. I actually have a Stadia. I play with it sometimes when I have time. But on our system, you know, it's Android operating system based. So, like, right now I actually play Stadia on our Venue device. We don't have any deals or anything with Google yet. But as I said, I'm already – like, it works already on our device. So – well, those are just negotiations that we're looking forward to making as we get the product finished. We haven't even delivered the product to any of these guys for them to test or play with. So we haven't come to that stage yet, but we will soon be there. We'll be soon delivering product to them, to not only, you know, Google, but any other companies and services that we want to have on the device for them to test and verify and validate. And then we'll be able to get them on the device. But it's just a matter of eyeballs, right? Why wouldn't they want to be on our system? If we're going to be in so many homes, it's just another way for them to get their service in front of the customer.
Yeah. The other opportunity before we go is interactive programming. A couple months ago, we interviewed David Carpenter. He's the grandson of the famous TV theme composer, Pete Carpenter, who worked with Mike Post on so many themes in the Rockford Files, to Tova and Baba Blacksheep and so on. And he has come up with a project called Seize the Show, which are these interactive performances where you can dictate live which way the characters and which way the plot goes. And as it turns out, while a lot of people are using smartphones and laptops for this or tablets, they can be present on smart TV sets and smart devices. And it seems that that kind of performance, or let's say a choose-your-own-adventure special, or a project like the artificial intelligence Rival Peak that's on Facebook Watch and Portal TV, could very well work on a project like Venue.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those type of things, as long as the consumers are interested in, again, we're a marketplace, right? So if the said people made that product and they uploaded it to our system, they could stream it right through our system to the audience and be able to sell tickets per person for it. We don't control the content with our model. We've built this beautiful back end that allows content creators that, you know, we've onboarded to be able to go in, create their own campaigns, set ticket prices, even regionalize their streams down to zip code granularity. So they can make it available, let's say, in downtown Manhattan, but blackout everywhere else in the country for whatever business reason they would, right? But they have that flexibility with our system. So we clearly are this, think of us as a digital exhibitor that could be in millions of homes that allows the content creator to create a campaign and go direct to consumer and keep a majority, the lion's share of that ticket sale.
The name of the project is Venue, and they will be at the first ever virtual Consumer Electronics Show, CES, taking place Monday through Thursday of next week. And if you want to know more about Venue and what they're up to, here's where you go online. It's www.xcinex.com. That's www.xcinex, that's the parent company of Venue.com. www.xcinex.com. And Venue now is looking at launching this summer. And I have a hunch that come this July or August, you're going to be back with us in the program to tell us how the launch is going. And I have a hunch that if this is going, there's a lot of implications based on our conversation today of where Venue can go and how many different areas of television it can impact, current and future. Jahan Fuad-Atkin, thank you so much for joining us. All the very best. Stay in touch and have a great time with CES next week.
Thank you. It's always great to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Same here. Take care and have a fantastic new year.
Thank you.
Sihan Fuad-Atkin from Venue, joining us live from San Francisco. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. Have you heard the big news? If you subscribe to Audible.com this week, and this week only, you can save 40% on your first 4 months of a subscription to either Audible Plus, which normally is $7.95 a month, or Premium Plus, which is $14.95 a month. That's Audible Plus for $7.95 a month, or Premium Plus for $4.95 a month. If you subscribe today, and you get all the details at audibletrial.com/televised, you can save 40% on your first 4 months. This is an offer that's only running till the end of this week. So if you can, take advantage of it, and hear for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For all the details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You can also find out if you want to wait for the subscription but have a 1 month trial. That is all the details as well. And by the way, if you're an Amazon Prime Video customer, you can order two audiobooks with your 1 month trial rather than one from the great catalog of over 200,000 Audible titles, including the growing number of Audible originals. It's everything from original radio productions and podcasts to the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one woman and one man performances. So for all the details about both of these offers, it's audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, a very interesting show on Amazon is now in its second season, A Toy Store Near You. We'll talk with our good friend Brian Volk-Weiss of the Sale Company about that and what else his company is working on this year. We'll get to him live from Los Angeles as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, and TuneIn.com. Together, reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget tonight on BTR, it's the Six and Road Show. The Six and Road Show, a lot of good music, entertainment, and fun. It's all for you tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away live from New Web, New York, 41 degrees at the top of the hour. Simon Alvin with you live from New York, special edition of our program, which usually takes place Monday and Fridays at this very hour. Another great guest coming for you in the half hour ahead you just joined us. And we invite you, as always, to be in the conversation. Just call us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. That's at our homepage, LogicFreedom.com/televised. Like our first guest, our second guest has been on before. He heads two enterprises in television. One is called Comedy Dynamics, which you can see stand-up comedy and other material on smart TV sets and smart devices. The other is his production company, The Cell Company, and their latest work is currently running on Amazon. It's called A Toy Store Near You, now in Season 2. Joining us live from Los Angeles, Brian Volk-Weiss. Brian, welcome back. Happy New Year to you.
Hi, sorry. We're having a couple technical difficulties. Please stand by 1 second.
Okay. That's Brian's assistant, by the way. It's on the line. And we should be in just a moment getting Brian. And while we wait for Brian, just so you know, as I said, that his company's newest show, A Toy Store Near You, is now in Season 2 at Amazon.com. So if you're an Amazon Prime Video subscriber, you can get that on your smart TV set or smart TV device, including Amazon Fire TV and Amazon Fire TV-powered smart TV sets. All right, Brian, are you there? All right, we're going to hang in there for a couple moments. While Brian, I'll tell you what, while we mute Brian's line for a moment while they get that set up. So I'll tell you what we'll do. While we wait for Brian, let's do our classic trivia question of the week. We posed it for the first time yesterday. Let's see if we get a winner today. And if that person is a winner, that person will get four prizes, including the Crazy Stupid Love DVD, the Talaria Clutch Plus Money and Card Clip, wonderful book by one of our previous guests last year, David Tice of Hub Entertainment Research, called The Genius Box, How the Idiot Box Got Smart and is Changing the Television Business, and also that new Sopranos book off the back of a truck that was originally came out last fall, and we had the writer of that book on our show last month. All right, here's the question. Name three of the four actors who portrayed the rookies on ABC. That's from 1972 to 1978. Not The Rookie, the current show that just started its new season Sunday night. Again, name three of the four actors who played the rookies on ABC. That's from 1972 to 1976. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winning answer by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's a UBC Simon TWBT. So remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So go for it. And all the very best. If we have time before the top of the hour, we'll replay the question again. All right, let's see if Brian is now on the line. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry for the technical problems, but I guess if there's any year to have technical problems, 2021 would be the right one, right?
Yes, absolutely, compared to other problems that are not so technical but very, very close to home. But we're happy you're aboard. We're glad that you've rejoined us. Let's talk about your newest show. Actually, it's the second season of your show, A Toy Store Near You. How is it doing on Amazon?
I know this sounds so cheesy and cliche, man. Like, I was about to say it, and then I was like, oh, this is so cheesy. But every now and then, a cliche is true, and it is beyond our highest expectations. I mean, we're so blown away. We were planning on having two more seasons come out in 2021, and we made the decision yesterday we are going to have at least three seasons come out this year. So if there is any evidence I can give you of how it's doing that's not cheesy, there's some evidence for you. It's we're literally pushing up an entire season.
Why do you think this program is having that level of impact, that level of viewership?
I think it's a bunch of reasons, but I think the main reason is, you know, the show, we did this very deliberately from the minute we greenlit it, is it's about a business that only happens to be about selling toys. So, like you could own a flower store or a restaurant or a hardware store, and you could still relate to this series and find a lot of value from it. So I think that's a part of it. But I think the other part of it is, you know, it's about the toys. You know, one of the things that we try to do with this show is everybody plays with toys. Everybody. Some people stop playing with toys when they're 8. Some stop when they're 12. Some stop when they're 17, whatever. Maybe if you're like me, you stop when you're 25. But, like, everybody played with toys. So it's, you know, part of the, I think, the appeal of the show is for the people that were, like, that played with toys but are not still collecting toys or obsessed with toys, I think what the show does is it reminds them of their childhoods. And then if we've done our job right, we turn those people into collectors.
How do you find these stores in the first place?
Well, luckily for us, we do another show about toys for Netflix called The Toys That Made Us. And when we did season 3, we did a worldwide premiere party with toy stores all over the world. And basically, when COVID started and we were like, we should do a show to help the stores, we sent an email blast to the list of stores we already were in business with. And that, like, literally within 24 hours, we got 30 stores that way. And then we put out a press release. We cut off the list at 50. So, I mean, we probably got 110 to 120 submissions. Just couldn't do that many episodes, or at least I don't think we can. So we just cut it off at 50. And did the best we could to pick the best stores from everybody who applied.
Yeah. Has it been more difficult to produce the second season because of the pandemic? I mean, how have Toy Story? We've heard a lot about other businesses, from restaurants to gyms to fitness salons, and how they are coping or not coping with this pandemic because of lockdowns and shutdowns in various states. How are the Toy Story people doing? Or toy store people doing. I'm getting Toy Story and Toy Story.
It's a great question, and I think it's an interesting answer because I really haven't seen what I'm about to say in the press at all, but this is basically what I've seen. In March, April, May, I'll even include a little bit of June, every store we were talking to, and like I said, we're talking to 50 stores all around the world, almost all of them, to some degree, were worried or convinced that they were going to be going out of business. By August, almost every single store was saying the exact same thing, which is, this is the best year in the history of our store. My home store, the store I go to the most, is Blast from the Past in Burbank. And I was talking to the owner, a guy named Larry, and Larry told me, he was like, dude, Wednesdays are usually our worst day of the week. He's like, dude, Wednesdays are like Saturdays, and Saturdays are like Christmas. So my theory, because like I told you, I haven't heard anybody else say anything like this. My theory, after I thought about this a lot, of trying to figure out what's going on, this is my theory, I could be wrong, but what I think is happening is, I think early in the pandemic, everybody was really worried about either they lost their job, or they got furloughed, or they got pay cuts, or they were worried about it happening. By June, July, August-ish, a lot of people, you know, 80 to 85% of the country has not lost their jobs, have not taken pay cuts. And I think a lot of people come the summer were like, you know, I normally go on a $20,000 a year vacation. You know, I've normally gone out to dinner 100 nights by this point. I got a lot of money in the bank I normally don't have in August. maybe I'll start buying toys online. And that's my theory as to what's happening. But, yeah, almost every store I know is having the best year in the history of their store. And also, I'm a big antique guy. I love going to antique stores. And every antique store I go to, I ask them that question. And every single antique store in L.A., in Fresno, in San Francisco that I've been to since COVID, they basically said the same thing. They're having the best year ever.
A toy store near you is now in its second season on Amazon. If you have a smart TV set or a smart TV device, chances are you can get it through Amazon Prime Video. It's also available, of course, on Amazon Fire TV, whether it's the smart TV device or it's TV sets that are powered with Fire TV as their operating system. Brian Vogt-Weiss is the chief executive of the production company that runs a toy store near you. It's called The Cell Company. In a moment, we're going to find out what they're going to be up to this year in terms of new shows. And he joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, with you live from New York. Good to have you aboard this Tuesday afternoon. And if you have a question or a comment for Brian, well, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, we have our second 90-day edition of the week. Joining us will be from Vizio, the smart TV maker, Vice President Catherine Pond. We'll find out from her what Vizio is up to this year in terms of new smart TV capability, features, and apps. Plus, we'll get her first thoughts about what's going to be happening with CES next week in its first virtual fashion. Then, Elvis Presley's birthday is on Friday, and we'll have, in honor of that, our good friend Frank D'Onofrio. We've talked to him in the past about how Elvis got going on television in the 1950s, how it helped his claim to fame. And Frank has now written a book about the king. It's called Elvis Presley, the King of Rock and Roll, which, by the way, we will offer as a classic trivia question prize starting later this month. So Frank will be along for that. And from the new Netflix series, Headspace Guide to Meditation, from Headspace, the meditation website, we'll have executive producer Morgan Salter. By the way, that series, one of three projects that Netflix will do with that website, including an interactive TV venture coming later this year. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Brian, a lot of experts are saying that with production coming back in New York, in L.A., all over the country, around the world, that this is going to be a huge year for original production, both scripted and unscripted. What's on the sales calendar for 2021? What's going to be happening on your end?
It's so funny. That question is always a fun one to answer because there's things we're doing I can talk about, and there's things we're doing I cannot talk about yet. So in the category of what I can talk about, you know, we have a new show, brand new. We're partnered with Dwayne Johnson coming out in the first quarter for Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction. And that show is all about the various rides, also known as attractions, at Disney theme parks all over the planet. So we have that coming out, like I said, hopefully this quarter. We do a show for Netflix called The Movies That Made Us, and we have 10 episodes of that series coming out this year. We have a bunch coming out in the middle of the year and then a bunch coming out towards the holidays. And then, like I said, we have at least two, but hopefully three more seasons of A Toy Store Near You coming out. So that I can talk about. There's another show we're doing. I can't say much about it, but I can say it's a series that will be celebrating the 55 years of Star Trek existing, and that's coming out towards the end of the year. And like I said, we got some other stuff going on, but unfortunately I can't talk about it just yet.
Yeah. With the Star Trek series, what kind of cooperation are you getting from Paramount, the actors, people who have produced not just Star Trek, but The Next Generation and all the other Star Trek series, including Alex Kurtzman and the gang at Star Trek Discovery and the Star Trek Picard series?
I mean, within reason, I can tell you with 99.9% accuracy, everybody we've reached out to that we wanted to interview or we needed something like footage from or whatever has said yes and been very helpful. And of the 0.1% of people that have not been able to give us what we had requested. It's usually, in fact, only one example I can think of. Every other example is just due to health issues. They're not healthy enough to participate. So we have been very blessed with phenomenal support.
Mm-hmm. Go back to Disney Plus, which is where one of your new series will be running this year. What do you think about them and the kind of first year that they had? And going into this year, where they're expected now to have not 50 original series, specials, and movies, but over 100.
I mean, the thing that I just think is very interesting about Disney and Disney Plus, of course, is, I mean, my guess is if Bob Iger and Chapek and everybody, if they had any complaint about Disney Plus, they're probably upset they didn't do it sooner. You know, there is no company with the brand love that Disney has. So they had that going for it. They had almost 100 years of some of the most beloved content in our entire civilization in their vault. And then they brilliantly bought Fox. So I would say the only thing wrong with it is they didn't do it sooner. And I say that to you as a producer, director working with Disney Plus, but I also say it to you as a Joe Schmo public who has a Disney Plus subscription, and other than I'd say it's tied with Netflix. You know, if I could only have two services, it would be Netflix and Disney Plus. I mean, it's fantastic.
Give us your sense of the whole universe of original television right now, because we have sort of three stages going on. We have the first generation of big programming services that are distributed basically through smart TV sets and smart devices: Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle, CBS All Access, soon to be Paramount Plus. Then we have all these plus services: Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, Discovery Plus, which launched yesterday with 50 original series among the 55,000 episodes that they offered right off the bat yesterday. And as I mentioned, CBS All Access is becoming Paramount Plus, and who knows who else is going to be getting this mega content universe. And then you have all of these services that launched last year of all different genres on smart TV sets, on smart TV devices, and multicast in the face of this pandemic. And it looks like we're going to get more of them launching this year, including some that will use multicast channels that are expected to expand because of next-gen television, which is rolling out now on TV stations all over the country. So what's your sense about all the different sandboxes that your company can play in?
So, you know, there's a saying that I think is probably one of the most truthful sayings there is about anything in life, and it's the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I'm a huge history buff. I've been reading history books literally since I was probably in the eighth grade. And, you know, what I always try to do with the entertainment business, A, because I'm in it, B, because it's a little bit more complicated and bizarre than other businesses, is I always try and find examples of non-entertainment businesses to just see if I can spot patterns. And one of the patterns I've been familiar with for a long time is, you know, like just use the airplane industry. 50 years ago, there was like 20 companies that made airplanes for the commercial and military business in the United States. Now, you could argue there's three, but there's really one. Like, Boeing is the only company that's making commercial and military airplanes on a daily, if not hourly, basis. 50 years ago, it was 25 to 30 companies. So whenever there's new technology, whenever there's a new thing, there's always a million people rushing in to try and get a piece of it. You know, we saw that with Quibi. We saw that with whatever. I'm not going to sit here and just name all these dead companies. But I think that the same thing that happened, you know, here's another great way to explain it. It's like, my entire life and career, Viacom was Viacom, and they happened to have a brand called Comedy Central. They happened to have a brand called BET. They happened to have a brand called MTV. And everybody, including myself, for a long time, just thought that a company called Viacom sprouted out of the ground, and they were like, let's do comedy, and they started Comedy Central. Let's do African-American-focused content, and they started BET. That is not what happened. What happened was some people started something that became Comedy Central, and then Viacom bought it. Same thing for BET. Same thing to a certain extent for MTV. And I just think that's the exact same cycle we're going to see again. I think that you're going to see the Disney Plus. I think you're going to see Disney buy another studio. I'm still shocked Netflix hasn't bought Paramount, or Viacom, I should say, or at least a merger. I've been predicting a merger. By the way, I predicted the Fox-Disney deal 5 years before it happened. I think the same thing is true here. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Discovery or not, but I think you're going to see a lot of consolidation start. Not this year. There'll be some this year. But I predict you will start to see massive consolidation starting next year.
Yeah. Still, though, we are seeing this incredible surge of original production. And I'm thinking that there is now this realization, at least among Netflix. I mean, Netflix seemed to have it first, but I think above everybody now, all these services, is that original programming is what is going to distinguish people. It's the Mandalorian. It's not just the Disney library. It's the Mandalorian and Diary of a Female President and Jedi Challenge, the game show based on Star Wars, etc. That's going to make Disney Plus succeed or fail. It's going to be these new original series that will make Discovery Plus succeed or fail. It's all the Netflix original programming that's made Netflix a big success. And not only that, but it's become, let's say, the world's biggest global programmer right now. So isn't that an important point to make, that it's going to be original programming, not library content, that is going to determine if Peacock or HBO Max or some new player comes on the scene and makes a deal?
I mean, this is obviously a total guess, but I mean, my guess is, I mean, without a doubt, you know, I believe strongly that, you know, it's like, it's that movie. I'm not a sports fan at all, but I love sports movies. And, you know, Moneyball, at some point, all of these companies, Netflix, everybody, are going to be playing Moneyball. You cannot, even the Yankees cannot afford, and I don't even know if this would be legal in the sport, but you can't have an entire team of designated hitters, you know? Like, you need to have, you know, people who are good at X, people who are good at Y. So I think that in the run-up to achieving, you know, a critical mass of subscribers, and we're still in that stage, by the way, you know, you're going to see massive spending from Netflix and Disney Plus and CBS All Access and everybody else building that base. But I think over time, you will start to see a hell of a lot more doubles and triples and even some singles than grand slams and home runs. And, you know, another example of precedent I would point to, a lot of people don't know this, and this even happened before my time of watching cable. But, you know, the original premise of cable was no commercials. So I think for the first 5 to 10 years of the cable business existing, the value proposition was no commercials. So why not pay an extra $5 and not have commercials? Well, once they got enough users, then they started putting in commercials. And don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. I'm not trying to say Netflix or Disney Plus are going to have commercials. I don't think they will. But I think you will start to see, as fewer and fewer startups begin their process of starting up, I think you're going to start to see, like I said earlier, a lot of, you know, one company buying two or three other companies to consolidate. But I also believe, to your point now, that, you know, instead of Disney Plus greenlighting 100 new shows trying to be The Mandalorian, my guess is you'll see them greenlighting 20 to find the next Mandalorian. As the war to get subscribers during this startup phase starts to cool off a little bit.
Yeah. And that may open the door, just a final thought, for a lot of independent production companies, including many that are being formed right now, to get a foot in the door. And who knows where that could go.
I apologize. I didn't completely understand the question.
I was just saying that if Disney decides to commission less from its own organization, and they have a lot of places to go because of the buying of Fox and all the different promo divisions they have, it could open the door for independent production companies to supply original products such as yours. And that, of course, would
be. Well, yeah, but I mean, we're already in business. You know, just to go with you apples to apples, I mean, we're already in business with Disney Plus, and, you know, here's the thing. I've been in the business for 22 years. I've owned my own company, you know, for close to 10. And this is what I have seen in the course of my 22-year career. And what I'm saying is my opinion based on my experiences. It does, you know, you could ask five other people who have been doing this as long as me, and they may have five completely different conclusions. But my analysis of my own career.
Yeah, I have to cut off because we got to leave the conversation there. We're wrapping things up. So we'll leave the rest of the conversation for the day. But the point is very well taken. And one thing is for sure, we got an amazing world ahead that's going to be unfolding in 2021 for sure, including work from your company itself. Again, the program that's currently running on Amazon Season 2 is A Toy Store Near You. Check it out on Amazon. For more details about the program, Amazon.com. And for details about Brian's company, what they're up to with various networks and services, it's NacelleCompany.com. It's Nacelle, NACELLE, company.com. Brian, thanks so much for all the commentary and for all the promos you do. Have a fantastic 2021 ahead, and we'll hopefully catch you back down the road.
Thank you. You as well, man. Appreciate it.
Will do. Take care. All the greatest.
Thanks. Bye. Take care. Be safe.
You got it. Brian Folkwise joining us live from Los Angeles. Thanks to both of our guests for being with us today and all of you. Don't forget, on Friday, we will have Catherine Pond from Vizio, Frank D'Onofrio from the new book, Elvis Presley, the King of Rock and Roll, and Maureen Salter from Netflix's new series, Headspace Guide to Meditation. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up? If you came in late on today's program, catch up on our program through www.blogsaway.com/televised. Also, check out our podcast in various places, including Amazon Music and iTunes and Apple TV as well. If you want to write on the program, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonWBT. Remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters. Views expressed in this program are those of the participants, those of Blog Talk Radio and the participants of this program. Production Associate, Amanda Lynn, Andy Toe, Blog Talk Radio's General Manager, Jay Steinberg, and Contact, co-founders Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Toe is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Audible transformed the way you hear the world. But tomorrow's televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We're back on Friday. 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to the rest of this week, please be safe and be great. If you're in Georgia, exercise your right to vote. You got a few hours before the polls close. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.